This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. Comcast is making a $45 billion deal to merge with Time Warner Cable. If given the green light by the federal regulators, the deal could create a massive multimedia gorilla, prompting concerns about cable TV and consumer broadband, lack of competition and rising prices, bundled channels, and poor quality customer service. But even beyond that, the merger would have greater implications for the future of the media and telecommunications, because one corporate giant will control a mega share of the fast internet lines into American homes, along with control over content. This concern over the lack of competition happens just as Google announced that it's looking at 9 new media markets to install its first-class Google Fiber. That includes San Antonio. That's still up in the air. We're not sure if that's actually going to happen. There's a lot of excitement, though. And we're going to check what this all means. And we want to hear your questions and comments. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. You could also comment on our show page at tpr.org. First, our guest, Susan Crawford. She is a John A. Reilly Professor of Intellectual Property at Harvard Law. She's also the author of the book Captive Audience, The Telecom Industry and Monopoly Power. And we're also joined by former City Council member Leticia Azuna. She is the architect of the San Antonio Area Broadband Network. Welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, it's great for y'all to be here. Excited about all this news that's happening in this area. Let's check in first with about this possible Google Fiber coming to San Antonio. This is Mayor Castro earlier today.
The city of San Antonio will begin a joint planning process with Google Fiber to establish a new fiber optic network right here in San Antonio. This network will be unlike any that exists in our city now, offering internet speeds 100 times faster than basic broadband service. We're working with Google Fiber, and we have an opportunity to help make internet speed faster for everyone and also to enhance broadband access and bridge the digital divide that still affects communities like San Antonio.
This reminds me of an event that probably happened about 175 years ago when they finally got word that a railroad was going to be connecting San Antonio to the coast. So, Susan Crawford, what do you make of these type of announcements and excitement about Google Fiber possibly coming to San Antonio and other markets?
Well, the difference between having a fiber network like this one in place and traditional internet access that we're used to is as great as the difference between having electricity and not having it. This is a difference in kind, not just degree. You'll be able to, you know, be present in other people's lives because the capacity of this network is so great. So it's exciting for every walk of life to have this essential facility in place. As a regulatory matter, there's some concern that you might be swapping out one monopoly for another because Google is going to be the provider of this essential piece of infrastructure. But the bigger picture is that this really fires the imagination. It's exciting to people to have ubiquitous, inexpensive connectivity that they can use as an input into everything they do, business, education, health. So today, let's think about the excitement.
So, Leticia, how did you know that this was coming? What was your reaction to it?
No, I did not know that the city was in discussions with Google, and today's news caught me just completely by surprise and just really very, very pleased.
Because this is something you've kind of been working
for. I've been working on the San Antonio Broadband Network, which is governmental entities connecting to keep costs down and to control access and to make sure that we have priority pipes for the mission of health, education, university, research. So this, I think, is just a great add. I look at these as very much complementary efforts. It certainly does put San Antonio on the information technology map, and we're excited to see what evolves. What's particularly interesting about San Antonio, and this is where I feel like I offer some insight, is that we are a majority-minority city, and we very much struggle with digital divide issues. So when a provider like Google comes in with an offering for a $300 connect fee to distribute that fee across a 12-month billing cycle and then offer 6 years of service with no additional fees, that's incredibly exciting as what the potential there is. So there's a lot of work that we have to do to educate folks about buying in and being connected. And I think if we get this formula right, it really has the potential to be transformative.
All right, we don't get too excited. We don't know. The city still has to work out the details. Could be a year before all that is nailed down. And so there's a lot of stuff to work out. But let me ask you, Susan Crawford, let's go back to what we're their original premise of what we were talking about for this program, which was talking about the Comcast and the merger with Time Warner Cable. And you talked about a monopoly with Google that we could be swapping out monopolies, but could they both exist at the same time, or is it one or the other? How does that work?
Well, Google's fiber network plans announced today are going to cover about 10% of the country. It is possible for two networks to coexist in the same city. And in fact, this might be the way for San Antonio to route around existing cable monopoly power in the city. Because without a competitor like Google showing up, for most Americans, their only choice for high-capacity internet connections is their local cable monopoly. And prices are really very high, and it isn't, you know, reaching every walk of life. It turns out that of the 100 million Americans who don't subscribe to a wire at home, it's very likely that socioeconomic status is correlated with that lack of a wire at home. So long story short, yes, you can have two networks in one city. I do worry that having Google be the only fiber operator means that you'll have Google forever, and they can raise their prices and condition their access later down the line. It would be better to have a wholesale fiber network laid out by the city, like a street grid, that allowed lots of retail fiber actors to show up. That would drive the free market and keep, you know, prices very low and make sure that you're never captive to a single player.
Yeah, I don't think we can do that under Texas law. That's you know, Austin doesn't want us to have that ability. But we're going to
Actually, there's news on that point, too, today.
Yep, that's right.
FCC, yeah, this is really exciting. Mm-hmm. It's a big day for fiber. The FCC signaled today that they're
okay, I tell you what. Keep us on suspense, all right? You're going to tell us we're going to go to a one-minute break, and you're going to tell us what this big news is because I want to hear it, too. And I want to get some calls in from our listeners. I'm sure they got tons of questions. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. We're talking about Google Fiber possibly coming to San Antonio and this very huge merger with Time Warner Cable and Comcast. What does that mean for us? This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the merger that's proposed between Comcast and Time Warner Cable, and also the announcement today by City Hall Mayor Julian Castro saying that Google Fiber is looking at San Antonio as a possible place to roll that out. We're joined by Susan Crawford. She is a professor of intellectual property at Harvard Law, author of the book Captive Audience, the Telecom Industry and Monopoly Power, and former City Council member Leticia Azuna. And she's been a huge advocate for improving San Antonio's broadband internet network. And so when we went to break, Susan, you were saying there's a big announcement or some news today from the FCC about government, state, and local regulations that would cobble networks?
That's right. So Texas is among the 19 states where there are hurdles for cities doing this for themselves or even making it easy for other private actors to build fiber networks. And today, the FCC said that it feels encouraged by the D.C. Circuit to open a rulemaking suggesting that those laws should be preempted, that, you know, they're getting in the way of rolling out advanced networks quickly enough for the country. This is extremely exciting because freeing up cities to make this decision for themselves is the way to move forward as a country.
Yeah. So Texas has a law on the books that says municipalities like San Antonio cannot provide internet access, because that would be that would get in the way of free enterprise, I guess, or of having some companies do it.
That's right. But, you know, this is really much more like electricity or a street grid or clean water. It's just essential infrastructure.
So this is recognizing that having access to data like this is and information is a utility.
That's the idea, or that at least cities should have the opportunity to make that decision for themselves. That's what the FCC is saying, that the state shouldn't be able to wipe out the power of the city to make that political determination.
Right. And I wanted to add, you know, what's particularly pressing for a market like San Antonio, there's two things I think that give added impetus to paying close attention to this conversation. The first is the net neutrality rule that Comcast is under right now. So Comcast is being held to a net neutrality standard that times out in 2018. Time Warner Cable has no such restriction, and we don't know what will happen should the merger go forward in terms of net neutrality. And more than that, San Antonio, primarily because, you know, we have a minority voice, right? We've got a lot of markets that are dependent on, you know, Spanish content, kind of offbeat stories that are, you know, prevalent here in our city that are culturally appropriate. Well, when you start to agglomerate all of the feeds of news and the feeds of entertainment, the flavor is lost. I mean, you very much lose the opportunity to tell your own story, to be an actor in what's presented to you. So I think that we should be absolutely paying close attention, because we don't want to see tiered presentation or told content is the way I think about it.
But it's interesting, because with this other news about the FCC, we're so excited about Google Fiber. But then again, we already have the CPS fiber in the ground here in San Antonio, which is not utilized because of this law. So if that law is actually changed or thrown out, then we may not even need the Google Fiber, right, Leticia?
Well, I mean, you're getting really speculative now.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that this wouldn't be a very, very long fight. I prefer to look down the road in, you know, an annual cycle. And so what we've got in front of us in an annual cycle is we have a Google Fiber offering, which is disruptive to our current market. I think that's a good thing. We have the San Antonio Area Broadband Network, so we have its potential. And we have the ability to kind of look forward and resolving some of the digital divide issues in our community and create a model for other cities to follow. So short term, you know, I think it's looking
good.
Well,
it's good to have options.
Yeah, very good.
All right, let's go to the phones. The phone lines are open. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. And Paul is on the line. Paul, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah. Well, I heard you mentioning that you thought Google would be the only fiber network, but I thought AT&T First was also fiber optic that was already running in San Antonio.
Okay, Paul, thanks for that question. And I know, Leticia, you can address that, can't you?
Yeah, I can address that. Would you like to go into the weeds after me, Susan?
Yeah, no, you go first.
Okay. Well, the differentiator between UVerse is that it's fiber to the node, and then the last bit is on a copper haul to the premise.
So the last couple of miles are on old copper wire.
Exactly.
Just
and
like
so
old phones.
Exactly. So you can't you can't push capacity through that last bit, and so you live or die by
this
the
is
speed.
Your house. This is your house.
Yes, you live or die by the last mile. And so you know, like my neighborhood, it's a neighborhood that's been around for 100 years, I kind of think that some of the copper in place hasn't been replaced in any recent memory. And so that's what you get. So it gets really fast to that point, and then there, the choke point comes at the distribution.
So Alexander Graham Bell personally put up that wire for you. Okay, so let me ask you this: back to this Comcast merger with Time Warner Cable. And the issue has been that this net neutrality keeps coming up. And we got a message on our Facebook as we promoted this event, this program. They wrote, network can be blocked or slowed by your internet provider, which can be merged. Comcast, if you have a Time Warner Now, internet control is why Comcast wants to do this. Does that sound right, Susan?
It does sound right. I mean, this creates a mammoth player, if the merger goes through, that passes 62% of American homes. And you can think of their control as, you know, there's a beltway around Washington, big freeway going in a circle. it's as if all of the area inside that huge Comcast network, inside that beltway, is controlled by them, which it is politically anyway, but just physically. And that means that the little feeder roads going into the beltway from the outside are completely dependent on Comcast's good grace. And that in turn means that any content or high-capacity application that wants to get access to people inside the beltway of Comcast network has to pay tribute to Comcast. And it's a tremendous problem for innovation and the future of the country that Comcast will have so much power. The current net neutrality rules, the ones that were just vacated by the D.C. Circuit, don't deal with these interconnection disputes between one network and another. So Comcast will remain free to discriminate and choose winners and losers among the feeder roads that connect into its network.
So, but Comcast, they have cable TV, and then they also have broadband. And we have this phenomenon of people cutting the cable and turning to their Hulu and Netflix, whatever, for their and even going to the network television sites to view programming. Comcast is saying, we don't like this, and so they can choke off access or make people pay the Comcast cable fee in order to view this programming on their broadband, right?
That's right, and they have additional levers they could pull. It's really a position of great physical power. It's like the Fort Lee Bridge going onto the people trying to get onto the George Washington Bridge. They can also make deals with programmers, given their increased heft, that don't allow programmers to make their stuff available to online distributors. So you wouldn't see head-to-head programming competition between a Netflix or a YouTube on the one hand and Comcast on the other, because Comcast can say to programmers, don't you put your stuff online. I don't want it there. So they get all kinds of power by having so many subscribers underneath their
But they don't have to make it known if they are hurting a particular website or not, or choking off that flow. That can be totally in-house, right?
Well, Leticia might have a view on this. I hear her voice.
Well, actually, what I was going to come in and say is that what's really interesting with players like Comcast is when they do their triple play offering. So then you're talking about telephony. But remember, the telephony has been – broadband has been ruled as an information service. It's not a telephone service. So what that does for municipalities like San Antonio, we operated under the universal – a service fee model, meaning that we could collect funds for allowing right-of-way access for these providers. When they pull away the telephone from being part of the universal service model and bundle it under a triple play package, it's almost like they're getting a free pass to drop off parts of the city from being connected. So that's another reason why I'm paying really close attention to what's going on. It's almost like a systemic disenfranchising.
Okay, I want to get some callers in this. Jay has called in. Jay, thanks for calling in. You're on the air. Welcome to The Source.
Well, thank you for taking my comment. I was just going to play off what the guests are saying and thinking that if Comcast believes that this is a pro-consumer merger, it seems to me that irrespective of how we got here, that the broadband access point is more like a utility. So if Comcast wants to merge with Time Warner Cable, fine, but why don't they spin off the actual broadband access infrastructure into a separate regulated public utility, and then they can merge on the cable business aspect. And while they're at it, they might as well just get rid of NBC Universal as well, and then we can see if it's a competitive thing or not.
All right, Jay, thanks for that. That brings up a lot of interesting points. One of them is having to spin stuff off. Is that something that the DOJ, Department of Justice, would require them to do, Susan?
Well, that's a very brave condition. I'm not sure that the Department of Justice would feel that it had the authority to force them to spin off their high-speed Internet access. For one thing, it's all running across the same pipe. So you'd be taking virtual infrastructure away from a physical operator, which is very difficult to do with words. We're just terrible at it. So the Nixon White House wanted to do this. They wanted to separate out content from conduit and say you have to choose. And they gave up. They thought it was too hard. That's why I think building alternative networks is actually a more constructive way to go, rather than trying to tell these guys what to do, which turns out to be extraordinarily difficult. Let's just make sure that everybody has ubiquitous fiber at an inexpensive price and move ahead.
Okay, one more caller real quickly. Jesse has called in. Jesse, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. This is a pretty great thing that we're trying to do for San Antonio. But, you know, is this going to turn into another dictatorship? You know, like we have, you know, in our presence now. I mean, we have UVerse, you have you know, all these other companies out here, and they all stay within a few dollars from each other. So, is it really going to matter who we bring in and let them control, you know, what we have to pay? Is there going to be any type of control over, you know, is it going to be a better deal for us, or is it just going to be another cash cow?
Okay. Jesse, thanks for that question. Who regulates this stuff? I remember cities used to have some sort of say over the cable companies. Whatever happened to that, Susan?
Well, it's easy. You might have something.
I was going to say, thank you. Cities, cities do play in the space in terms of allowing right-of-way, conduit access, and pole attachments. So in many ways, cities are the regulatory authority over where these providers can go in. But given the cost of putting in that level of infrastructure, you know, you need a pretty deep-pocketed partner to come in and bear a lot of the cost. So it becomes, you know, a delicate dance between the city and the provider. And very much that's why we look at competitive models and trying to get away from the duopoly so that we can make informed decisions as a city so we can best serve the communications interests of the constituents of San Antonio.
So a competition and greater regulation from cities and the...
Well, I didn't say greater regulation. Okay. I said just paying attention to the rules. About...
All right. Leticia Zuna, thank you so much. Susan Crawford, this is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back after this NPR news break.